Father, I thank you for this beautiful morning. I thank you for your blessings to us, Lord. I thank you for each one that's able to be here with us this morning. Lord, thank you most of all for the presence of our dear Savior who came and became lower than the angels for our sake. Father, I pray that this morning our hearts would be tuned to you in praise and worship and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. A little interesting turn of events this morning, but it kind of got me thinking how we had planned to have a nice, open, brightly lit, clean, prepared place for us with all of our chairs to set up and tables and coffee makers and all those things, and got there and there was no room for us at the community center this morning. Kind of change of plans, and we ended up here in somebody's garage. And interesting and rather fitting as we think this morning and look this morning at the story of how our Savior came. And, you know, I'm sure that Mary and Joseph would have imagined having a nice, clean, prepared hotel room waiting for them there in Nazareth with a nice clean bed and plenty of light and, you know, running water and all the different things that would be nice to have in their room, and wasn't there, wasn't available to them. And they ended up going, somebody had a little barn they could go to. But I want to start this morning in Genesis chapter 3. Just look with me, if you will. I want to catch a couple of the promises of the Messiah throughout the Old Testament. And then we will go into the New Testament and look at his birth and all of that. In Genesis chapter 3, we read the story of the fall of mankind. We read how Adam and Eve fell. They were tempted by the devil, by the serpent. And they chose to follow him, to follow their personal take on it, what they saw and went, oh yeah, that makes sense, we'll do that. We'll follow what you say. And as they are receiving from the Lord both the curses and the promises of pain and suffering that hadn't been the case beforehand, that were coming on not only on them, but on the earth because of their sin, because of their disobedience to God, and because of their taking their own way and choosing their own way instead of God's way. We find a verse in the middle of all of that. All of that discouraging word of, man, we blew it. We messed up. And God actually was serious when he told us that there would be serious and dire consequences. And he was actually serious when he told us we shouldn't eat of the fruit of that tree or we will die. And that death, we know, was a spiritual death. But as they're hearing the sentence given forth by a just and a righteous and a holy God who wasn't just being mean for the sake of being mean, but was meeting out here well-deserved, well-earned justice because of their sin. Yet in the middle of that, we read this verse in number 15, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. He says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And we see here, in that moment, the first glimmer of the promise of what God is planning. God already had planned. We're told in another place that he, Christ Jesus, was crucified before the foundation of the world in the mind of God. God had already created this plan. God had foresaw the need that would arise. He had foresaw our weakness. He had foresaw our stumbling and our falling as the human race, and needing a Savior. And he had already planned and prepared a way. So here we see the first glimpse, the first glimmer of hope, even in the midst of the fall of man and their righteous judgments being meted out by God, we see God promises that there will be a seed of the woman that will bruise the head of the serpent, and that serpent will bruise his heel. We see numerous places through the Old Testament where God hints at, alludes at, and restates, sometimes very clearly, these promises. We see it to Abraham when he says, "In you, in your family, in your descendants, all nations of the world will be blessed." Speaking specifically of Christ, who would bring the ultimate blessing of eternal life to all nations of the world, anyone who will come and accept and receive and surrender their life to Him. We see then in Isaiah 7:14, we see He says, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel," which literally means God with us. God with us. These beautiful promises, this glimmer of a light in the distance. And as we look down through the ages, you can see God's people looking forward to and waiting for this promise to be fulfilled. Isaiah 9:6-7, he says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." We see again and again down through the ages, down through the years, God promising and God's people waiting for, longing for this promise to be fulfilled, that God is going to make a way for us. We can't help ourselves. That's the most basic thing that you will begin to learn if you try to walk any type of a successful life, not only spiritually, but physically in every realm. If you try to walk your life for any period of time, you will very soon discover, I can't do it alone. I need help. That has been the experience of humanity since the fall. In the Garden of Eden. If you walk through this life for any period of time at all, you will discover you need more than you have inside in yourself. And we look through, down through the ages, down through the Old Testament, and we see there were many people who lived carelessly. There were many people who couldn't care less about God and what He was doing. But all down through the ages, those who cared about the things of God, and those, there were those who were waiting, who were looking towards, who were longing for the coming of the Lord, the coming of a Savior who would make it possible for us to be re-established as in a right relationship with God. All down through the Old Testament, you see the sacrifices of the lambs and the bulls and the goats and all these sacrifices that pointed to a sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice, which is coming, which will pay for, not just cover temporarily, but will pay for our sin and make us able to stand in the presence of a holy, righteous God. And in Hebrews it tells us, these all died in faith, not having yet received that promise, but they saw it afar off, and they waited for it, and they were anticipating it, and they were longing for it. Let's turn now to John 1 and read the first 18 verses of John chapter 1. This does in a nutshell give a overview of the coming of Christ from more of a perspective of God's perspective. It says in John chapter 1 verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life." In Him was life. That's what's been anticipated since the Garden of Eden, when God said, "In the day you eat of it, ye shall die." In Him, Christ Jesus, was life. "And the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." That's got to be one of the saddest statements. Here comes your anticipated, longed for, promised Savior. In Him is life. The very thing that you need, that you've been waiting for, that every human heart craves, even without knowing it many times. "And He was in the world. He came to the world. The world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not." Here comes this promised Savior, and the world doesn't even know it. "He came unto His own." This is speaking specifically of the children of Israel, those who specifically had been called and were considered for generations and generation the people of God. "He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Yet these were the very people who were anticipating and waiting for the Messiah. But they missed Him. He came to them, and they received Him not. But, this is one of the best words you'll find in any laying out of things, because the Bible usually lays out just exactly what a miserable state we're in, and how terribly we need a Savior, and how terribly flawed and fallen we are. And then it comes to the but. And everything after that is God's solution. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." As many as received Him. Here's this promised Messiah. Here's this promised "in Him is life." The solution to our problem. Most of the world missed Him. Most of the very people who were called the people of God missed Him. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Had to be God. The will of the flesh has already been proven all the way back in the Garden of Eden to be insufficient and flawed and always choosing wrong. So not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word, Jesus Christ, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
That's right.
What a precious, beautiful Savior, full of grace and truth. John bare Him witness and cried, saying, "This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Christ Jesus. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." He hath declared Him. Now I want to turn over to Luke chapter 1 and look at the story of the birth of Christ. And pay attention as we go through this to notice who received Him and who knew Him not. Who received Him and who knew Him not. He came to His own and they knew Him not. We'll start in verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. He says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. What kind of a greeting is that? That's odd. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." This is amazingly almost word for word quote from Isaiah. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He goes on, he says, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David." That's what was prophesied later on in Isaiah, that he would sit on the throne of his father David. "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
Amen.
And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Mary here was the first one in our story to receive Him. She says, Yes, absolutely, here I am, Lord. Do with me what you want. You want to send your son through me? Here I am, Lord. I receive Him. I receive that. Whatever you want to give me, whatever you want to do in me, to me, through me, I'm yours. I'm your handmaid. Do it your way. Here I am. Verse 39, "And Mary rose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth." This is her cousin, the mother of John. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now we see the second person, Elizabeth, receiving him gladly. He's my Lord. Absolutely. Who am I that the mother of my Lord would come and visit me, but come in. I'm so blessed to see you and to have you come and visit. Luke doesn't recount Joseph's part in this. But Joseph certainly struggled when he realized that his fiancée was expecting, was pregnant. But when the angel of the Lord came to him in a dream, said, This is God's doing. Don't be afraid to take her. Joseph also received him. Be it unto me as you would have it, Lord. And he took her as his wife, and he loved her, and he cared for her, and he cared for this little precious baby who was born and fathered him as his very own son. For he received him gladly. Let's read a couple more verses here. Verse 46, And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy, what does John say? Full of grace and truth. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. Those who were hungry and who were ready to receive, received. They received power to become the sons of God. But those who thought they had enough and had it all, they were sent away empty. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 2 and continue the story here. And it came to pass, excuse me, Luke chapter 1, we'll start with verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. We see little glimpses of those who didn't receive him. First of all, it seems clear in other accounts that most of their friends around them back in their city of Bethlehem, or rather, where did they live? Nazareth. Weren't quite sure about this. Weren't quite ready to receive and embrace this, what seemed to them a far-fetched story. And I don't want to be too hard on the innkeepers, because they had a lot of people coming in for this taxing. But yet, there was no room for them. There was no room for them. No one was willing and ready to receive them. No one said, "Oh, you poor thing, there's no room at the inn. You're obviously about to have a baby. Come, and you can at least sleep on my couch." No one received them. There was no room for them. Someone let them go to their barn. Said, "Yeah, well, I mean, you can use my barn." And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in this city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things that were told them by the shepherds. Here we see some poor lowly shepherds who get a special announcement of the coming of the Messiah in their own area. Maybe even their own barn, I don't know. And they gladly, with a haste, it says, they go and they receive him. They received him. And then they went out and they told everyone they knew, "Hey, you won't believe what happened. Last night we were out watching our sheep." And they told the whole story and told about this little baby they went and they saw. And this is the Messiah. They received him. Verse 19, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice, according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel." He's waiting. anticipating, looking forward to, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. What a precious promise to receive. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. My eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Here he's prophesying by the Spirit the acceptance and the rejection of this Savior by many people in Israel itself. But not only that, he's prophesying and understanding this isn't just for the people of Israel. This is a light to lighten the Gentiles, and that the whole world would see and know God's salvation. And here we see Simeon with open arms receiving him. Happily, gladly receiving him. There's another person here. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel, in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Here we see a lady who at a young age got married. 7 years she was married, and her husband died. And so she's devoted the rest of her life ever since. 84 years. That would be 84 years that she's now been single as a widow, staying almost all the time in the temple, talking to people about the Lord, praying, fasting, helping out, I'm sure, in any way she could. Just there to be in the presence of God and to be with those who cared about God. And here she comes in at that moment. The special blessing for her, a faithful woman. And she comes in and she sees the Messiah. And she receives him. She receives him. And not only that, she goes out now and she knows already, because she's been in the temple for 84 years, she knows who really cares about the Messiah's coming. She knows who's really waiting, anticipating, and longing for the Savior. And she takes it as her personal mission to let them know, he's come. I've seen him. His name is Jesus. She received him. And this morning, brothers and sisters, I just want to challenge us as we go through each day of our lives to be among those who receive Him. Not only once, not only one time of the year when it's kind of the season and we celebrate His birth, but that daily we are opening our hearts to receive our Savior, to receive His grace, His mercy, His strength, His truth, His love. We're realizing our need, and we're coming to the only one who can help and fulfill that need. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Right. To become the sons of God. We aren't just forgiven servants who now get to come and work for the God of the universe. That would be more than enough. More than we deserve. But we are sons and daughters, embraced and received and adopted into God's family if we receive Him. As many as receive Him. And once you and I have received Him, let us take the example of the shepherds and of Anna and tell others the Messiah has come. The Savior has come. The answer to your problem of sin has come. And His name is Jesus. And if you will receive Him, you can become, you too can become a son or a daughter of God Himself, God Almighty. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this beautiful morning. Lord, thank You for Your Son who came, who humbled Himself, lowered Himself to become a human, to become one of us. Father, to bring light and salvation and life to us who had no hope, who had no other way. And You came, Lord Jesus, to make a way of salvation, to open up a way to God, to make us able to be sons and daughters of God Almighty. Father, this morning, during this season, as we remember and we celebrate the birth of Your Son, Lord, help our hearts to be tuned with gratefulness, thankfulness. Lord, help us to receive with open arms Your gift. And Father, to speak regularly to those around us of that gift, that they might also know and join in and receive this Messiah. In Jesus' name, amen.